This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks for listening. And here's a question for Friday. Who has the moral high ground in the war on terror? Is it would-be Commander-in-Chief Hillary Clinton, who went after Donald Trump yesterday as someone who she says could not make competent moral judgments as president?
This is not someone who should ever have the nuclear codes, because it's not hard to imagine Donald Trump leading us into a war just because somebody got under his very thin skin.
That's Hillary Clinton in her major foreign policy speech yesterday. Donald Trump has produced excitement and consternation in the world with his style of discourse, the kinds of things he says about foreign affairs, and as a campaigner. And he certainly didn't disappoint yesterday, reacting to Hillary Clinton.
It was so sad to watch. And, you know, she's up there and supposed to be a foreign policy speech. It was a political speech. Had nothing to do with foreign policy. She made a political speech tonight, folks, and it was a pretty pathetic deal.
Does the current president have the moral high ground? He's the winner of a Nobel Peace Prize. He claims he's ending two wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. He's also the man who directs the U.S. secret drone program.
The architecture, the legal architecture, around the use of drone strikes or other kinetic strikes wasn't as precise as it should have been, and there's no doubt that civilians were killed that shouldn't have been.
The answer may be none of the above. No one has the moral high ground, and the reason might be the use of those drones, which is a virtual non-issue in the campaign and yet has become a bloody legacy of the Obama administration, and the rising number of civilian deaths, estimated in a range from a few hundred to a few thousand. Last month, 17 Afghans died in successive drone strikes, though both the Afghan and U.S. governments denied any non-combatants were killed. U.S. Army Chaplain Chris Antal served for all of the Obama administration's 8 years. Because of the drones, he decided in April he would resign, declaring he is a conscientious objector.
Currently, these drone wars are a murder weapon, and I believe that they could be used in a more constructive way, with proper oversight, with proper checks and balances. But the current policy, yes, these are murder weapons.
Some would say that, well, the use of drones actually reduces casualties. It protects our soldiers. It's a technology that keeps us off of the battlefield. And aside from some mistakes, this is a positive future of warfare.
Yeah, that's a hard argument to sustain, I believe, John. My response to that is blowback. I think that this drone war is creating enemies faster than we can kill them, and decapitation is a poor substitute for strategy. And as a father who has five children, I'm concerned 10, 20, 30 years down the road what these current policies are going to bring about for my children and for my grandchildren in this country.
America speaks about the moral high ground in its conduct of war around the world. How is that a difficult argument to make from your perspective?
America likes to make the claim we are one nation under God. We like to make the claim that we are blessed by God. I think that if we're going to make that claim, we need to accept that that means we're one nation, not only under God's grace and protection, but also under God's judgment, and that includes judgment by international law. And when we act in ways that are unaccountable to rules of international law, we are, I think, in good conscience claim we are taking the moral high ground.
For you, what was the turning point in your journey to a place where you could no longer support U.S. policy?
Well, John, I was driven by compassion to volunteer to serve as a chaplain in the Army. I wanted to take care of the wounded. And I was also driven by a sense of responsibility as a citizen. I felt a civic duty to do my fair share in a war effort. What happened for me in Afghanistan was I witnessed drones, and I bore witness to policies and practices that violate deeply held beliefs and values that I carry as both a minister and as a human being.
What was it like to see? What did the drone look like to you? And from the perspective of Afghans who you may have encountered and other soldiers, What kind of feelings did they evoke?
Well, the context of my first encounter with our armed drones was on the flight line at Kandahar Airfield, where as a military chaplain, I was obligated to do my duty to honor our American war dead. There's a ceremony that happens on the flight line called a dignified transfer ceremony, and chaplains support that by our presence there. And it was in the context of that ceremony that I witnessed armed drones and also surveillance drones launching and landing. And they're sleek, they're quiet. And in the context of that service, that solemn memorial service, I was torn in my soul. I wondered if I'm here honoring these American war dead, who is honoring the dead on the other end of these drones?
And the administration would say that the intended dead are militants and military targets, and you would say what?
I would say that we really don't know. The administration has been secret and opaque, and the administration, in my view, needs to stop killing people with drones until we can figure out what is going on.
And is it because the drone has become simply a unilateral murder weapon for the White House, or is it the civilian casualties that have been caused by drones that offends you more?
Well, the latest numbers that the Bureau of Investigative Journalism released just 2 days ago are 7,143 confirmed killed by U.S. drones in just four nations. Most of those are in Pakistan. And that, as a religious leader, I'm appalled. And as a citizen, I'm outraged at the unaccountable killing by our administration.
And do you think, you know, these are mistakes? These are collateral damage is what the administration would say. And there's been plenty of civilian deaths not caused by drones in the course of the war in Afghanistan and in Iraq. How is this different?
Well, there is a moral justification for killing, in my view, and that is to protect the innocent from certain harm. And the real question that America needs to be asking is it necessary to kill these people to protect our homes, our families? And I don't believe it is. I don't believe we meet the criteria of necessity. These are wars of choice, and these are killings of opportunity and convenience, not necessity. And in that sense, he has, I think, stepped beyond his authority as president, elected by a constitutional democratic process. And so the answer is yes.
Reverend Antel is a former U.S. Army chaplain. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, John, for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.